this. It's actually in 1 Peter chapter 4. So tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to work on one thing in our maintenance department. And I want to reveal it to you in just a few minutes. I want to read this, and then I want to reveal it to you. Because of everything I've already said, and I sort of took my time to walk into that, little odd, a little different, but it'll all pull together in just a minute. So we have 1 Peter chapter number 4. We look in verse number 1. And this is what Peter was writing. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. He suffered in the flesh. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Sometimes we do suffer, folks. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in uncleanliness, is what lasciviousness is, uncleanliness, lust, excess of wine, a drunkard, reviling, quarreling, fighting, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now, again, Peter was writing this, and he said, this is how you used to be, this is how you are now, and then think it not strange that you're no longer running with those that do those things. I believe that when a person gets saved, I firmly believe that God will change your wants. God will change your desires. You no longer want to be the same person. The Bible says you're a new person. So the people that you used to hang around and do things with, you still care about them, you still love them, but you don't hang around them no more. Because they're going to end up having you doing the same old thing again if you go back and do the things with them that you were doing, and then you'll make Christ and his sacrifice of none effect in your life. So in this we see in verse number 5, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men of the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Then he says in verse 7, but the end of these things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Knowing that this verse said this in verse number 6, that you're going to die according to your life. Either you're going to die in the flesh as men and give an account for that, or you're going to die in the Spirit and you're going to be right with God when you die. Then he says at the end, be sober. Be serious about your relationship with God. Take it serious. Don't play with your relationship with God. And then he says in verse number 8, and this is really what I want to get to, because he says, above all things, this is what he says, have fervent charity. Intense charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, that word's a little bit difficult for me to say, but it's be hospitable to one another. Love one another. Care for one another. Now this is where what's that word again, Roger? That word right there comes into play. And the reason I say that, because again, Psalm 92 and 10 says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And sometimes in the spiritual realm, by the power of the Holy Ghost, God's got to come and give us a good old-fashioned spiritual oil change. And the reason I say that is because every now and then, we kind of lose a little bit of a concern for not only God, ourselves. And I've learned this in life. If somebody don't care anything about themselves, they sure ain't going to care nothing about somebody else. I mean, I don't have the statistics, and I probably wouldn't go over them if I had them, but the suicide rate is out the roof. And that's one of the reasons that I believe that the suicide rate is out the roof. One factor maybe is because young people today, they just don't value life. That's why you got things going on the street because there's such a devaluing of life anymore that there just don't seem to be a real value in life. But I'm talking about you and I. I'm talking about in the church. Because when you look at this scripture, and there's going to be a lot of scripture here, and I know I'm already running out of time, but he says there in verse number 8, when you look in verse 8, he says, above all things, have intense, fervent charity among yourselves. Because charity, love, covers a multitude of sin. If you go into the Strong's Concordance, when you look at that word charity, we know that it's love. You look at number 26 in the Strong's Concordance, and that is a benevolent love, brotherly love. It is a benevolent love. And when you look at this particular word, this is one of the things that I actually learned about it. That it goes beyond just a benevolent love, because it is translated over to not just benevolence. And we look at the word agape. We all know agape in the Greek is supposed to be the most intense type of love that God has. It's an agape love. It is an unconditional love. It is a love that goes the extra mile. In the definition of this word, understanding this word, it actually says this, and I've read this before, and it says what God did in John 3:16. I'm not going to turn there, but it was God gave not what man wanted, but God gave what man needed as God perceived his need. And I said that to say this, that the church today, we're not turning there, you can just write a note there and go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because it mentions love all the way down through there. And it talks about love, and it talks about faith, it talks about charity, and it says out of all of those that remain, love remains. And in this, we see where that Peter was writing this, and he says that love shall cover, charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Now, I went through every bit of that to say this, that I believe that the church should be a place of safety. I believe that you and I should be able to come into these walls within this room with brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it should always, watch this, be a place of safety. As a pastor, I think that I have to always remember this. I think that I always have to premise everything that goes through my grinder as I sit and I talk and I deal with people and I deal with things that I deal with. When Peter was saying the greater of all of these things is charity, and charity covers a multitude of sins. I know that we talk about grace. I know we talk about mercy. Another message for another time. But I do believe that when the Scripture talks about this, that I believe that God is showing us a portrait and a picture of Jesus Himself. When we think about what Jesus did on the cross, I'm telling you, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. When you look in Ephesians chapter number 5, we begin to look at this in verse 22, because this is one of the greatest places that we see love mentioned in Ephesians. Paul was the one that was penning this. And Paul was writing this, and he said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, years ago when I mentioned that and we was preaching through this and I mentioned that scripture, and I wonder why that scripture's there, because there's this thing called rebellion, and I don't know if women get in it or not, but I know men do. I'm not a woman, I'm a man, and I can't talk for a woman, but I can talk for a man. I guarantee you that a man gets rebellious. I promise you that. But it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The way that I understood that then, that God, through the Lord, is never going to ask you and I to do anything contrary to God nor His Word. So when Paul was writing that, as a woman submits to her husband, she's really trusting the leadership of her husband to lead her in the direction that God wants them to go as a couple, as a family. So therefore, she does not have any trouble following and submitting herself to her husband. The problem is when it gets out of kelter. This next verse begins to teach us this in verse 23, because this is what he says: for the husband is the head of the wife. Why? Because the husband is made first. We know the rib from Adam, and God put the man as the leader of the home. And as the husband goes, so goes the wife. As the husband follows God, so the wife follows the husband, because the husband is following God. But when you look at that, he begins to teach us, even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24 says these words: therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The next verse. And then he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So it is this love that is displayed by Jesus, that is displayed through Paul, through Ephesians, and we in the church today understand how that Jesus loved the church. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. We know that. We know that from our children. But yet we look at this scripture here and we see that Christ loved the church. And when Peter was writing this, that charity covers a multitude of sins. Now watch this. As Jesus forgave you, as Jesus loved you, charity covers a multitude of sins. What if Jesus would have only pointed out your mistakes? What if Jesus would have only loved you based on your goodness or your merit, but he didn't? Are we okay on a Wednesday night? So when we look at this, and we look at this in Scripture, really what I get out of this, he says, so love your wives even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And he did not die for the church because the church deserved it. We don't love people because they're worthy to be loved. We do our best to love people because the love of Jesus that's in our heart. Hello? And I believe this. I honestly believe that you can love somebody, and sometimes, and I know you're going to say, well, preacher, I get it. But some people are just hard to love, and I got people that's beyond love, but I can't go against God's word. So the husband loves the wife, and the wife as Christ loved the church, the husband's not going to ask the wife to do anything contrary to the word. Jesus loves the church. He gave himself for the church. And then he teaches us in the scripture, and this is crazy, because he says that we're to love one another even as Christ loved the church. So I said this earlier in my own mind as I was processing this. Man, we need an oil change. We need in the church, and I'm talking about the church at large. And I'll get into some other stuff in a minute. But when we think about this, we think about the church is God's representative of himself on this earth. And how good are you representing God on this earth in this area? I'm telling you, folks, I too struggle here. I too had just as soon slap the living daylights out of people sometimes than to fool with them. You think, well, preacher, I'm human like you. Let's not hide behind a mask or a facade. But we can't do that. That's not who God made us be. That's not who God made us to be. He made us to be salt and He made us to be light. And God is the one who marvelously and beautifully put love on display. God did that. When you begin to look at this, and I hope I can get this correct, 1 John chapter 2, we look at this in 1 John chapter 2, looking in verse number 8, because this begins to teach us about God. And He says again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And watch this in verse 8 and 9 going forward. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. I don't like that verse. Let's take it out of the Bible. We can't take it out of the Bible. Next verse. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And then he says, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You're found guiltless. You're found guiltless before God because you have put on the love of God, the light, if you will. If you go back to verse number, back up just a minute, Kathy. If you go back one more, if you go back to verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. And didn't he say, he didn't say the world, he said his brother. And I'm saying every bit of this, maybe I should do this on a Sunday morning when we have everybody here for the most part. But let it start with us that are here tonight. Let us be the people that God would be pleased with. And let us love one another. You say, well, preacher, do you detect that in the church? You don't wait till your engine blows to change your oil. Come on now, preacher. You change your oil and you maintenance your vehicle in order to prevent your engine from blowing. All I'm doing tonight is changing oil, honey. All I'm doing tonight is trying to help us to understand moving forward into the future. We've got to walk in love. We've got to love one another. We've got to honor one another. We've got to respect one another. Some people like vanilla. Some people like chocolate. But at the end of the day, it don't make no difference about what we like or we dislike, this, that, or the other. What we got to do is love one another at the end of the day. And I'm not talking about doctrinal issues. I'm talking about opinions and preferences. Amen? Now, go back into 10, and then we're going to move forward and go really quick. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of him stumbling. He's not going to stumble. He's truthful. He's honest. He really does love somebody. I really love you from my heart. I'm not putting on a facade. I'm not putting on a mask, and I'm not going to stumble because what I'm telling you is the absolute truth. I've said it for years, and I stand by it. If a man will tell the truth, then he don't have to worry about the lie he just told. And you don't have to worry about telling the story over and over again the same way, because if you mix a little bit of a lie in there, you've got to tell the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth will stand when the world is on fire. I've heard that before. Next verse 11, really fast. And he says in the scripture, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He is like a ship being tossed on the sea at night that has absolutely no direction in his life, because he's confused and he's just wandering in the darkness, if you will. Love covers a multitude of sin. Let me move forward. First John chapter 4. We know this one really, really good. And this really goes back a little bit, and it talks up in verse number 7. And actually, I'm going to turn there because there's quite a bit of reading, and I want to just highlight this. So this is in 1 John 4 and 7. And when you begin to look at this, I'm in 1 Peter. I want to go to 1 John. Hang on. I thought I was going to let Kathy do all the hard work, but I'm going to help her. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says this. He said, "Beloved, let us what? Love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice, propitiation for our sin." Verse 11 says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another." This is scripture that we've read. It's scripture that we probably have quoted. It's scripture that we've written down on notepads in the past. But how many of you have ever had your oil changed in your car more than one time? I got two that needs the oil change, no doubt, right now. This is oil change. This is God cleansing our heart, changing our hearts, and letting us know, not only tonight, but in the future, that the greatest quality of any Christian to become and to be what Jesus left the church here on the earth to be is that we do what Jesus said in the Word of God, and we love one another as Christ loved the church. And then, as you see this, beloved, we ought to also to love one another. The very foundation of any relationship in humanity must start with love. Why? That's the way God designed it. God designed it. We're going to jump to the Old Testament really, really fast. And I'm going to let Kathy do this one for me. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 18. And let me say, while she's turning there, I appreciate them working so hard and doing the job they do. They make my life a whole lot easier while I'm up here. I normally don't even give them scripture anymore. They just listen and we go with it. We've been here long enough to know how we roll. But in this is what we say. And he says, again, in the book of Leviticus, this goes all the way back into the Old Testament. So loving your neighbor is not just a New Testament principle. It was the common method of a society, even in the Old Testament, that the society was trained of God, how a society is to operate and how a society is supposed to work. May I tell you something, my friend? Can I just be real for just a few more minutes? One of the videos that I was watching, even I don't know why I watch these crazy things. I don't even know why. But it was this guy standing there and he was taunting Jason, a policeman. And he was doing the old Three Stooges, three-step, like this in front of the cop. And then he reached out and he slapped the cop. And then the cop runs like little boys through the parking lot trying to run through cars because the cop was trying to catch him. And I thought to myself, when did the society get so bad that this is the type of entertainment that's entertainment? It's really not entertainment. But I'm saying, when did our world get so bad that society is governed and our society is operative the way that it operates? And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If we're not really, really careful, that type of mindset and that type of behavior will bleed over into the church. And I'm telling you, friend, it's already bleeding over into our children. Godly mamas and godly daddies, we have to set the pace for children. I've learned a lot at 60. I learned a lot at 55. I learned a lot at 50-something and through the years that I didn't know when I was 30. I didn't know when I was 20. Now, that's one thing, Russell, I wish I did know at 20 that I know at 60.
Amen.
Now, raising children at 60 is a whole lot different than raising children at 20.
Right.
A lot different. A lot different. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. One thing that remains is in this scripture, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. One another, the children of one another, the children of thy people. I didn't think I'd get too many amens tonight, but I wanted to preach this anyway. And he says, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Maintenance that machine, Pastor. Look at that neighbor next to you right now and say, I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you in Jesus' name. And you know, if the devil, and I'm not glorifying the devil and I ain't giving the devil no credit, but if the devil can get the pastor upset at you as the sheep, the devil will do that. If the devil can get Lynn holding a grudge against Tim, he'll do that. And if the devil can do that between Sherry and I, he'll do that. I was told something not long ago, and it's good advice. Some guy, I don't remember who it was, said, Pastor, I always get the last word in my home. And I sort of looked at him and I said, say on. He said, I always say yes, ma'am. Wisdom from above. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord thy God. I don't know, Kathy, you don't really need to go there, but I'll just tell you what it says. If you go back into that book of Ephesians, because this is where it's supposed to fit back in, and it says, husbands, love your wives, and then he says that in Ephesians, that no man really ever hateth himself. And we're to love others the way we love ourselves. You know, that golden rule, do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. That may not be the exact quote of a Bible verse, but it's a good principle. That we love one another. Let's look at this next one. Deuteronomy 6 and 5. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says these words. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Jesus talked about that. In John chapter number 13, we see where Jesus actually used these very words, because it is identifying them in Scripture as his people. In John 13, verse 34, it picks up on this. And maybe tonight, my friend, maybe, and I do feel as a pastor, that a long-term pastor of a local church, that I know folks pretty well and people know me pretty well. Can I brag on you just a minute? Is it okay if I do that? We've lost approximately 55 people by virtue of just death. 55 to 60, roughly, give or take, in close to 14 years in this body. And I'm going to brag on you for a minute. You've always loved one another. You've always kept each other's back. Is it okay if I say stuff like that in church? Mm-hmm. You've always protected one another. You've always, the only thing I can say is you've kept gossip at bay. You might think it, and somebody said one time, well, if you think it, you might as well say it. No, you don't. Because the devil puts those seed thoughts right in your little bitty brain right here, and when it comes out your mouth, it becomes a poisonous dagger. It's a weapon. It's an arsenal. It's artillery for the enemy. And thank God I have been here. And that don't mean that we're perfect. It don't mean that we've not had hiccups. It don't mean that we've not had challenges along the way. But for the most part, we've always loved one another. A new commandment I give unto you. When you walk out of this room tonight, you've heard my heart. You've heard my heart to love you I'll get in the ditch with you. I'll get in the trenches. I hope I don't get in trouble when I tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. I hope I don't get in trouble. When I was in Monroe, and I'll just tell it like it is, very difficult, challenging place. I had a dream one night, Jason. And in this dream, I just seen a man that was muddy in a ditch. His clothing was tattered. He was beat. He was wallowed. He was just give out. He was just filthy. And in this dream, I saw this other person dressed just about like I'm dressed right now. Same dream, same situation. And in this dream, I believe God spoke to me, Russell, and said, one of those men will walk out of that meeting tomorrow night, being a Wednesday or whatever it was. So I went through the process, and I went through the meeting, and I went through things that I had to deal with. And we had this man that was a rhythm guitar player that led our church in worship, and he led the church in praise, and he led the church into the presence of God. And Russell, he got up and he said these words about me. He said, when our pastor could have and had full right to not only defend himself, but to say things that needed to be said, he didn't say it. And because of that, I was called a coward. And this woman told Sherry, pastor is weak. Weakness is really power under control. But that man complimented me that night. He said, our pastor stood in integrity and stood correct and did not lash out at those that had lashed out at him. I just kept doing the Jesus thing. Loving God, loving people, loving God, and loving people. And you don't know how many times I've had to go back to that story, because there have been times in my own life, raising my children, raising my son, that I've made a lot of mistakes. And I've tried my best to just keep love in the forefront of what I've done. No matter where you're at in life, I believe that God will get the glory out of it if we'll just love one another. Let me wrap this up here in just a few moments, because in this we see where God again says this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 through 21, again back into 1 John. 1 John has a lot to say about this topic. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says it like this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and of a sound mind. Paul told Timothy, because fear hath torment, and that he that feareth is not made perfect in perfect love. The next verse, when you look in verse number 19 through 21, it says, we love him because he first loved us. The next verse, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Notice the Bible said, brother. We are to detest sin. We are to abhor sin. We are to stay away from sin. We don't hate the sinner. We hate sin. Sherry's not in here to defend herself. But she done something yesterday as like, girl. It was pouring the rain. There was a guy sitting inside of Walmart. I was in the vehicle. And Tim, all I could see was her in Walmart. There was a guy sitting in a buggy. He's trying to get enough money to get out of the rain and get into a motel room. And I'm sitting there watching this unfold. I'm going, I'm going to have to get out of this car. She was right here in that guy's face. And I'm just going, Sherry, you better get out of his face. There ain't no man wants no woman in his face, including myself. She got in the car and I said, what was you doing? I was just telling him that he didn't have to live that way, that he could live a different life. And they were conversing. I said, but Sherry, you were doing this at him and you were pointing at him the whole time. She said, was I really? I'm going, yeah. Don't be doing that to men. Don't be doing that, especially a stranger. It's like, you know, that's not good. Especially somebody on the street, you know. But she just showed the guy some love and concern, and she got in the car and said, I hate to see people living like that. I said, I do too, honey. I do. But she showed him some love. She tried. Now, if he got it, I don't know. If he got drowned in the flood last night, I don't know. I have no clue. I wasn't in it. But he says this in the scripture, and I'm done. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Hate, detest, that's a strong word. I've heard people, now, y'all ain't going to like what I'm getting ready to say. So button down your seatbelt, because you ain't going to like what I'm getting ready to say. You got your seatbelt on? You got it fastened? You ready? You ready for what I'm getting ready to say? There's people that have said, well, I don't care if they go to hell or not. We should care. We're supposed to care. And I do care. But I'm going to be really gut-wrenching honest. You can love some persons, and they're never going to change. Your job is to love. The changing's up to God and them. As much as I've loved my son, and I've talked about my son, and me and him talk good today. We're good. We're right. We're good. We're all right. Brother Jason, just tried to keep loving him through it all. Sometimes I'd like to just bury his head, you know, but, you know. So those people that have been extremely difficult, just give them to God. For he that loveth not his brother, again, the word brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The last thing I'm going to mention here is simply this. Be fruitful. Because he says if in John 15, 9 through 12, this is what the word says. Be fruitful as God's children. We spend a little bit of time on John 15. But verse 9 comes back and he picks it up. And he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. That's a key verse. Because why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. If we don't walk in love, all we're going to see is the sin. All we're going to see is the heartache. I've been there, folks. I know this for a fact. But if I can just somehow love you, and if we in the church can just love people the way God wants us to love people. Now, let me hit the slash marks for a minute. I don't know what them things is on the computer, but they have these lines that goes right here and you something. I'm not real good on computers, but here's the thing. I'm not nobody's judge. You got to call sin, sin, and wrong, wrong, and you cannot placate sin. Sin has to be confronted. And just because I confront sin and because I tell somebody, unless you get your heart right with God, you're going to die and go to hell, I can still love them. Russell, I can still love them. I love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen. And people say, well, I don't believe that God is a God of love if God would send anybody to hell. God don't send people to hell. People go to hell because of their own rebellion against the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and they choose to reject Him, and that is the justice of God, because there's no sin going to get into heaven. That's God. That ain't Alan. Verse 9, quickly, stand with me. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Look in verse number 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus said, I have finished. No man taketh my life. I lay it down. And He said, as Jesus continued in the Father's love, I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking about the ravaged sinner out there on the street. I'm talking to the church. And he says, as the Father, I've kept the Father's love. So he says, abide in my love. Next verse. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That, my friend, is the blessing of it all. I think there's one more verse there, verse 12. This commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is how I feel like God wants me to ask this question to us. It's going to be a little bit comical, but it's the way I feel it. Will you let God change your oil? Maybe you ain't gotten under that word right there that Roger keeps mentioning. Maybe you're wore out. Maybe your oil's wore out. Maybe you're drained out. Maybe you've been through so much. And I'm going to go ahead and say it the way I feel it. Maybe you really don't care whether they go to hell or not. Maybe you've went your extra mile. Maybe you've went your last mile. Maybe you've done everything that you can do. Can I tell you what God says? Take your hand off of it and let God work it out. Quit trying to fix what is not your responsibility to fix. Just love them. Just love them. Just love them. You say they're hard to love. Yes, they are. I'd just soon slap them as look at them sometimes. But God says love them. Love the sinner. Love that rebellious child. Love that prodigal. Love that person that you just like to pull your hair out over. You say, how do you do that? Peace, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but my peace give I unto you. The only thing you can do, friend, is rest in His love and with full assurance that God loves you. And as God has loved you, you just have to love each other through His eyes, not your eyes. His eyes. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. That is difficult. That is hard. And you just have to do it the best you know how. Amen? You just have to just say, God, here it is. I can't control anything about another person. I cannot control anything about another person, but I can control me. Amen? So that's where I'm at tonight. I just want God to change my oil. I want God to change my heart. I want God to make sure that I'm right with Him and He's right with me. That I want to be right with God. And I pray that every person in this church, not only just tonight, but moving forward into the future, will operate in the love of Jesus and that we love one another the best we know how. And we commit ourselves to that. Amen. I love you. I've shared my heart. I've carried this thing all day today. I've carried it, and this is what God told me to do. So, Father, I've done my part. I did everything I know to do. With the way You told me to do it, the way I felt like You said for me to do it. And, Father, I pray, God, right now that You would breathe on us. Breathe on this congregation. Breathe on the person that's standing here today that needs it the most. Father, You know every person's heart. You know every person's life. You know every person's struggle. You know all the difficulties in our homes, in our families, in our marriages, in our children. God, You know the difficulties in the bank. You know the difficulties in Walmart. You know the places that we go. Things we do and the people we associate with. And Lord, I admit, some people are more difficult to love than others. But God, give us the grace and the help and the time of these difficulties that, God, that we would love people the way You want us to love them. Not because they've earned it, not because they deserved it, because it's the right thing to do with You. Now, Father, I pray, God, Your blessings over this church. Father, touch Sherry and I, God. We need the prayers of the church. We need it, Lord. We need the prayers of the people of God. Father, I just pray that we would forever love one another, even as Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. For it's in His precious name I pray. And all the people of God said, Amen.